You know, I thought one of the ways we could go deeper in our faith during this time of Lent is to take a serious and hard look at the Lord's Prayer. We say it every Sunday. In fact, today we'll sing it, because on Communion Sundays we sing the Lord's Prayer, and Bobby kind of leads us in that incredible zeal that he has. It's contagious, and I love it. It's a beautiful prayer. The significance of the Lord's Prayer that he gave to his disciples, and by the way, we are his disciples as well. We're students, Talmidim, of the Rabbi Jesus. And so the prayer is given to us as well, not just to his disciples 2,000 years ago. It's a significant prayer. When we look at it seriously, we can discover in that prayer the presence, the power, the personal connection with God. And one of the things I always say is that as Christians, we have a personal relationship with God. It's not a distant relationship where God is way off somewhere and we're here and we have to appease God in a certain way. No, God, we are part of his creation. And the Lord's Prayer helps remind us of this relationship that we have with him. And Jesus tells us in this prayer that prayer is not necessarily about the length or the duration. In other words, if you're a long-winded prayer person, I'm not saying it's bad, but I've been to prayer meetings where somebody started and a half hour later they're still praying and you go, oy vey, when's this going to end? They're praying for their mother-in-law and their car, and that's all okay. I'm not making fun of it, but Jesus was reminding them, it's not the duration of the prayer. And he certainly spoke against repetition, just repeating yourself over and over again in a prayer. It's not necessary. It's not about how loud you pray. Some people pray very loud. They scare the daylights out of everybody. And that's not necessary either. He tells us that prayer should be sincere. It's where the heart is. And so when you pray, you're sincerely having communion or communication with God. That's all prayer is. It's a conversation. Some people say, well, I don't know how to pray. Well, just talk to God. You know, don't use the these and the thous and the Elizabethan English. It's not necessary. I could assure you that Jesus did not read the King James Bible. Okay? He spoke in Aramaic most of the time. Certainly, I'm sure Hebrew was in there. And he certainly, coming from Galilee, he was very fluent in Greek as well. And so the language is not important. What's important is the heart. And so Jesus says in verse 7, when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the pagans and some versions say, as the heathen do, because they think they will be heard more by speaking so much. It's not necessary. And then in verse 8, he says, your Father knows what you need before you even ask. But you know, when my children were growing up, I wanted my kids to tell me what was on their mind, what they wanted. I think a father or a mother wants to have that relationship. We don't want to have to guess what our kids are thinking. And God knows before we even ask, but God wants to hear our petitions and our praise. You see, going through a laundry list of prayer requests as you run out the door is really just telling God everything. I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that, goodbye, and out the door. And that's not really what it means to pray the Lord's Prayer. It's deeper than that. Just think of if we began our prayers with worship, how effective that would be. Before we ask God for one thing, we just begin to worship God. And we get ushered into an atmosphere of connectedness before we even ask God for one favor, one thing. There's so much about God to praise. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, How do we start worshiping God in prayer? Well, why don't you thank Him, or me? Why don't we thank Him for what God has already done? God has done unbelievable things in our lives that we should be grateful for. Praise Him for the mighty acts that we discover in Scripture. Go through the Bible and see all the things that God has done and God is still doing. God's not dead. There was a big movement back in the 50s. God is dead. It had polluted many, many seminaries that when Jesus died on the cross, God died. Well, that's kind of silly. God is alive. And God is mighty, and His acts are discovered in Scripture, and we should thank Him for that. Think about all of His creation, how big that is. And in light of that, how small we are in light of His creation. But yet the Bible says He knows every hair on our head, or how many you've lost. God knows everything about us. He knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb, the Bible says. He knew us because He knitted us together in our mother's womb. And so, for me, the Lord's Prayer is a way to put things in its proper perspective and puts us in our proper perspective. Think about this. You know, babies run to their parents crying because they want something, right? A wet diaper, they're hungry, they're agitated, it's hot. And they want the attention of their parents. But when a baby grows up and they get into their adolescent years and they become teenagers, they learn how to stop running to their parents crying, but rather communicating with their parents. Or not communicating. Teenagers, right? One of our granddaughters discovered something this past month that has completely mesmerized her. Boys. And so my daughter was calling my wife saying, all she does is text this guy. I mean, she's like out of her mind. And my wife says, you don't remember? They didn't have text back then, but let me tell you, the phone was hot and heavy when our daughter was a child. You see, as children grow up, they learn to be reciprocal. They learn that it's a give-and-take relationship, you know. Not only are my parents supposed to please me, but I'm supposed to please my parents by doing my homework, by maybe doing chores around the house, by behaving, and so forth. So there's a reciprocal relationship. You don't just keep crying to your parents, I want this, I want that, or I'm gonna have a temper tantrum. It doesn't work that way. But to babies, that's the way they get their parents' attention. And so we learn not to just to run to God when we need something from Him. Like a child who goes to the parents and wants the keys to the car or 20 bucks. We don't just go to God when we need something, but communicate with Him, which takes place in a reciprocal relationship, speaking and listening. And I think that's one of the shortcomings. Even myself, many times, I don't spend a sufficient amount of time after a prayer to just sit still and listen for God to speak to me. And you'll say, well, do I hear Charlton Heston's voice when God speaks? No. But Charlton Heston was an actor for you young folks. But the thing is, God maybe will give you peace about something as you pray. Or maybe stir you up a little bit that maybe your decision is not really good and maybe you should wait or not take that decision into consideration at all. And that's what a mature Christian looks like. And that's what Lent calls us to grow into maturity. And by the way, I don't care how long you've been a Christian, it doesn't matter. We could still grow. We could still become more mature in our faith. I don't care how many degrees you have in theology. It doesn't matter. We continue to grow. And so I guess what I'm saying, we could spend quite a while of time just praying, Hallowed be thy name. Right there. You don't even have to go any further. Hallowed be thy name. There's nothing more that touches God's heart when we revere God by hallowing His name. And that just doesn't apply to corporate worship, meaning in church, but it applies to our personal lives and our personal prayer lives when we hallow God's name. Hallowed be thy name. There's something about that name, isn't there? Isn't there something about a name when you think about it. We don't think about this often. Dan, I hope I don't embarrass Dan Stewart, but Dan is a good Scotsman over there, and he sent me this card that I've kept, by the way, because I love Scottish history. And what he sent me was where the Stewart name comes from. And I didn't know you were royalty, Dan, until I read this card, but the Stuarts were monarchs who ruled Scotland for over three centuries. And on this little card on the back, it tells you the whole history of how the Stuart name came about, who they were, and their place in history. And I was so thrilled with this, I kept it, because, you know, I love history and I love names and meanings of names. Now, I could tell you when I was in Scotland, I could not find a tartan for the Ferrara clan. But I will tell you something about the Ferrara name. When my wife and I were in northern Italy, there's a whole city named the city of Ferrara. And in fact, in the time of Michelangelo, there was a whole province called Ferrara. It's way up north in northern Italy. And the name Ferrara means a person who works with iron. So we were iron workers. Now, Dan, you'll appreciate this. When I was in Scotland, I found out that the Ferrara clan, not Scottish clan, Italian clan, they were actually sword makers. And they supplied the Highlanders with all the swords to fight against the English. And so I was thinking, as Mel Gibson raised his sword, freedom, you know, in Braveheart, that was a Ferrara sword he was holding. I never thought that I came from a family of arms dealers. That doesn't, it really doesn't help my image much. But there's something deeper about a name than meets the eye. Certainly that's true with God. We need to remember the significance of when we address God, that in the names of God, and there's several names for God in Scripture, and I'll talk about that in a moment, but there's something about a name. Have you ever heard somebody say, so-and-so made a name for him or herself? Right? So it doesn't mean they took on a new name. It just means, I guess what it means is so-and-so has made a name for themselves, is that they have developed a reputation. So, you know, you talk to a friend and you go, I'm looking for a good internist. And that person will say, Dr. So-and-so, he's the greatest. You need to go to him. Because that doctor has developed a reputation of having good bedside manners and good relationship with patients and successful in the way he administers his medicine or her medicine. And so that person has developed a good relationship. Now, on the flip side, you'll hear about somebody say, that guy's a crook. I wouldn't get my car fixed. Oh, he ripped me off. See, now there's a reputation, a bad reputation. And the name of that company, ABC Automotive, you're going to stay away from there because people are telling you he's not honest. You needed a spark plug, he gave you a whole engine. And so there's something about that name. Name is very important. So when we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We recognize how meaningful God is in our life. That word hallowed, one of the translation means respect. When we hallow someone, we have respect. And that grows over a period of time. You know, I am very patriotic. You know, I'll tell you a funny story. When I interviewed for a church in New Fairfield, one of the craziest questions that I was asked by a member of SPR, would you take the American flag out of the sanctuary? And I said, over my dead body. And the person says, I have no further questions. I found out the pastor who interviewed before me said the first thing he would do is take the American flag out of the sanctuary. There were no further questions. He was gone. And so I respect the flag. But there's even a higher respect than that. More than even addressing a person by their title, doctor, ambassador, Mr. President, whatever. And more than a handshake when we shake someone's hand. Or in my wife's native country, when you respect somebody, you bow to them. Doesn't mean you're lower than them. It's an expression of respect. And when we pray, hallowed be thy name, we bring this to a whole new level. It is a term that is difficult to even define when you pray that Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name, because the sense of reverence is off the charts, more than saluting a flag, more than a handshake, more than addressing somebody by a title, more than bowing to somebody. It's a reverence that is just specifically given to God. Hallowed be thy name. It's a phrase or expression of worship. When we ascend into the very heart of God, we're ushered into the throne room of God when we say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We recognize who he is, what he has done, and what he is still doing. How many know God is still working?
Amen.
God is still in our midst. God is still busy. You see what's happening in the Ukraine. We're going to take a special offering. Do you think God's happy with that destruction? That is free will that did that. Otherwise, if God didn't give us free will, we would all be puppets or robots. And we would just do whatever. God gave us free will all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. And some people use their free will to do destructive and evil things. And so we can't blame God. How does God allow what's happening in the Ukraine? No, God is not pleased what's happening in the Ukraine. It's humans' free will that creates chaos and heinous crimes like that. Now, God has many names. One of the names is Elohim. God is the mighty creator that we witness in the creation story in Genesis chapter 1. And God is also Yahweh. It's the Lord that keeps his covenant with his people. Then there's God Adonai, which is master and Lord over our lives. You know, in the time of Jesus, there was so much reverence to that name. I found this interesting. The Jewish people revered God so much that they wouldn't even say the sacred name Yahweh because it was so holy. They took the consonants out of the name Yahweh because it was so holy. They took the vowels out of the name Adonai, and they wound up coming up with the name Jehovah. Tremendous reverence. So when we pray the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to sing that in a little while, hallowed be thy name, we are revering God at the highest level of reverence. Nothing takes a higher priority than revering God Almighty. The very opening of the prayer helps us not to rush in with our prayers like that crying baby, right? The crying baby has no filters, no governor, nothing. There's no filtration. When a baby's angry, hungry, dirty, they're just going to cry. We're beyond that. We start the prayer, Our Father, with which translates, by the way, that Father, listen to this, Abba, which means Daddy. It's personal, it's warm, it's not distant. When my wife and I were in the Orlando airport a few weeks ago, there was this cranky baby, and he's fighting, and he's hot, and he's screaming, and it's, you know, and it just, the baby was just beside himself. The mother picked him up, nestled him in her arms, and within a minute, you know how babies, when they start to calm down, it's and he fell asleep in his mother's arms. And I thought to myself, although God is awesome, all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-present, he's still Abba, he's still Daddy God, who holds us dearly, just as that young mother was holding her little son. Picture that image of that mom holding her child when you pray the Lord's Prayer the next time. The God who's personally interested in you and me, you, your needs, your pain, your fears, all those things that you're struggling with personally, your grief. Think of that young mother holding her little son and rocking him in her arms. Hagios in the Greek, holy, that's what hallowed means. When we say it, we are treating God with the utmost respect. We're giving him a place of utmost honor in our lives. And that's what worship is all about, my friends. God inhabits the praises of his people. And when we begin to hallow the name of God, God comes in the midst of our space. We could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. And things start to change. God is bigger than our problems. God is greater than any need we might have this morning. He's greater than any fear we might be feeling right now in our personal lives. We're saying, holy are you, Lord. You're worthy of our praises. We put you first in our lives. We totally trust in you, Lord, even though we don't understand, even though we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. We know that you've got our backs. I have found that when I'm down, and when I've fallen short, when I do something that I know that really upset God, I start praying the Lord's Prayer. I start to feel peace. I can't explain it other than to say, God says, okay, I got this. I give you my peace, not as the world gives. I give you my peace, which passes all human understanding. And so, friends, we're in the season of Lent, a time of reflection. So this week, try praying the Lord's Prayer every day. And many of you probably already do. But try praying the Lord's Prayer every day. And in fact, pray it throughout the day. As you're driving, as you're sitting, as you're walking, begin, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Linger there for a while. Don't rush through it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Stop right there. Think about that prayer and what it means. Stop and praise him. Magnify his name. Make it personal. Abba, Father, Daddy, God. Think of the young mother and her son at the Orlando airport when you pray the Lord's Prayer. Pray, Our Father, Elohim, the mighty creator who created the universe and even created me. I'm part of your creation. Our Father Yahweh, who never goes back on his word. Everything you say in your holy word is true, and you'll never go back on your covenant with me. Make it personal. Our Father Adonai, Master and Lord, rule over my life. You be the ruler of my life. When I make decisions, when I get up in the morning, when I walk along the way, when I'm dealing and interacting with other people, you be the Lord over my life. Our Father, Abba, my daddy, who holds me in his arms when I'm afraid, when I'm down, when I'm depressed, when I'm grieving, when I feel lost. Do you hear the praise in that kind of worship? Do you hear the difference? Rather than just reciting a rote, memorized prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We just go through that prayer. Take time to listen to the words and why Jesus made that the most significant prayer to give off to his disciples. Master, teach me how to pray. And he gave them that prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Friends, during this season of Lent, make it a time of worship. Slowly journey to Easter. Don't rush through it. And I promise you, if we do, it will change our lives for the better, and we'll come out stronger than when we entered this season of Lent. Do you believe it?
I believe it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallowed be thy name, Lord Jesus.